This audio comes to you from the Science of Mind Archives.
We take you now to Alice Tully Hall at Lincoln Center in New York to hear the Sunday morning Religious Science service.
We are a today people with a today idea. This instruction is not necessarily based on the past. In other words, we are not having a heritage which limits us in any way. This is a today idea for today's people. And for the people who are not of today, there's plenty of the old idea around. They can go there, and they do. Now, what is this new idea? The new idea is that whatever life is, you are it. Whatever life is, it is creative. You are creative. Whatever life is, it is love, and you are love. Whatever life is, it is God, and you are God. It's that simple. You're the whole thing. You're going to say, well, in that case, then, why do negative things happen to me? I'll tell you later. That comes in the second part. Because I pondered the question myself, regarding myself. All right, let's relax and take this into our subconscious mind. I'll do it in the first person so that as you hear it, it becomes your own treatment for yourself. I am a today person in a today consciousness. I am not the child that has grown up and become an adult. I am this person of today. With today's mind, today's emotions, today's outlook. Fresh, clean, good. Knowing that there is but one God, one mind, one spirit, one truth, and one intelligence. And this functions in me, through me, and as me. Right here and right now. All right, so be it. Those of us here in Alice Tully Hall at Lincoln Center this morning, we will turn to the third inside page of the program for our song. We old-timers know it by heart, but we keep the thing in our hand anyway and glance at it, because it looks better that way. Here again is the emphasis with which I started my hour. We are a today people planning a good tomorrow. I wonder how many of your friends and loved ones are planning a good tomorrow. Most of the people I associate with, that isn't true. But many people whom I contact are prophets of doom. And I look at them because I'm always expecting something better to happen. That's what we're teaching here. There's always something better that can happen. So here we have our song. We build a new tomorrow. We draw the pattern clear. We make our plans with wisdom, for mind is ever here. Our thinking makes our future, our actions pave the way. We build a new tomorrow on patterns formed today. Now the old words of this song were stand up, stand up. So let us, as the opening chord comes in, we'll just follow the old words, just as stand up, and we'll sing the new words. All right, shall we? I'm speaking this morning on the key idea. Yesterday and earlier today, I did a good deal of thinking on what is the most important idea there is in the entire universe. What one single idea would I select as being the most important in the entire system of life? And it became very obvious to me. The key idea would be myself, because I'm the key to the whole thing. You're the key to the whole thing. The greatest single concept you can have about anything is yourself. And with this wave of interest in meditation that's coming across the country, well, it has come across, it's going to do a lot of good, because it's going to make people aware that they are the center and the circumference of their own experience. They're going to become aware of what the individual really is, and that's the whole answer. This is what every prophet has tried to teach. This is what every savior has tried to teach. This is what every book of philosophy has tried to say. That you and you alone are the key idea to your experience. I am the key idea to my experience. Now, why do troubles come upon me? Because I either create them or accept them. The rain falls on the just and the unjust, but the just don't get wet. Say that one again. It is written of old that the rain falls on the just and the unjust, but the just don't get wet. I like that. I hope I remember it. I've got to speak in Chicago on Friday night. I'll try and bring that one in. So one of you old-timers, write it down so I can take it with me. That should do some good in Chicago, shouldn't it? Nice city. Now to come back. Why does trouble come to me, to you? because I usually expect it. I think the key words, if you want a successful today and tomorrow, the key words are, what are you expecting and what are you imagining? What are you expecting and what are you imagining? I think you'll find your answers if you do some serious work on it. Because most people expect trouble and imagine trouble. Last Monday afternoon, a student in my class said to me, with all that we know today about every aspect of health, everything we know, he said that health is not the miracle. Disease is the miracle. It shouldn't happen. Did you hear me? And I thought about that, and I said, you're right. With all that we know about health, then the miracle is not health, it's the miracle is, why on earth do I get sick? And we could take this into any other area of life. Now you go where your mind takes you. And your expectation and imagination are the key. So, you know, and what? And by the way, watch people. Watch how they think. You can tell by the way they talk. You see, when we talk, we give ourselves away. You can only guard your tongue for so long to keep it covering the lie. Just so long. And eventually, the truth comes out. It's like the people that are always smiling. I'd like to know what's in back of it. They've learned to manage their face, but I don't know what they're doing with their minds. Anyway, I don't like these people that always smile. I like a natural smile, but I don't like the artificial smile that many, apparently, especially people who think they are spiritually minded, think they have to smile all the time. Well, I'm spiritually minded, I think, and I don't smile all the time. In fact, I almost lost my temper last week. Not quite, but I got near it. It's been years since I've lost my temper, so I told somebody in the office, I said, it's a good thing I didn't, because when I do it good. And this was in my office on 48th Street, and people on both Fifth Avenue and Madison would have known it, even when I'm on the fourth floor. Now, anyway, I didn't, so all is well. What do I imagine, and what do I expect? That determines the whole thing. That's your key, because you are your key to your own experience. No one can operate my life but myself unless I let them do it. Now, if I let them do it, then, again, it's my responsibility. And I suppose there are always occasions when we do let someone else run our lives slightly. Or maybe majorly, I don't know. But if someone does run your life, you have arranged it that way. You've arranged it rather conveniently that way. Then you've got someone else to blame for your own mistake. She told me to do it. He told me to do it. They, that great God, they told me to do it. So I always have this in the background. If someone runs my life, it's because I have agreed to it. And if someone runs my life, it's because I either am ignorant of what life really is, or I want it that way. Now, life really is intelligence in action. It is mind in action. It is emotion in action. It is God in action. That's what life is. You have it, and I have it, and it is ours. The free gift. We didn't select it, we were born with it. Life is intelligence in action, mind in action, emotion in action, cause in action, or God in action. And it is mine to use and it is yours to use. I don't need to use it. I can sit back and join the crowd. I can sit back and join the majority who accept the fact that life is difficult, isn't it all? That life is hard, not at all. That life is a fight, not at all. That's what the crowd said. And the crowd is, well, I say, a very large majority. And there are many imposing names in the crowd. Many. Many supposed authorities in the crowd. And so when you say, I don't go along with it, people are startled. I do not think the world is going to pot. I think it's in a mess, but I don't know when it hasn't been. You know who caused the mess, though? All of us. I mean, the human mind. I'm not expecting the world to go to pot. I'm not expecting my own life to go to pot. I refuse to die of any of the diseases they're trying to tell me I'm going to die of. You hear me? I thought I'd get a better reaction, though. And so now I'll say it for you. I want you to do the same thing. I just refuse to die of any of the diseases that they want me to die of. We're full. I can do the only decent thing there is to do, that is to go to sleep some night, not wake up in the morning. Only decent way to get across the line. But you see, this great God they out there say, wait, now just consider, if this doesn't get you, that will. And they've got quite a variety. That's what the world does. No wonder the great teacher said, I am not of this world. Because he knew he couldn't work with the world thought and say what he needed to say. All right, the key idea is yourself. And what happens to you in the next 10 years is up to you. I can't determine it for you. You can't determine it for me. At all. But my day-by-day state of consciousness is the factor. Look. It's not hard on Sunday morning at 11:20, seated here in Alice Tully Hall or our radio audience, seated wherever they are, to be cheery. Doesn't take much to be cheery here or wherever the listener is. But during the week, it takes an effort. During the week, we have to watch consciousness. Even this afternoon, we'll have to watch consciousness in this evening. Because it's so easy to slip into negation. And I'm not speaking of casual negation. We all have that. I'm talking about deep-seated gut negation. That's the thing we have to worry about. Sure, we all have the surface negatives of the day. There's no way of living without them, but they aren't that important. Provided underneath there is a creative, sustainable, sustained, intelligent consciousness, and you are in control. If, I said. You're going to say, well, how do I take control of my consciousness? Just by saying that you're doing so. So people say to me, Dr. Barker, how do I get what I want? I say, you already have it. And really believe it. Oh. They always get the, Instead of saying, I guess you're right. They never say that. They just say, You must realize that, in general, people do not want to change their mind. In general, they don't want to change their emotions. They just hope that everything will be all right. And hope won't do it. You see, I think life being intelligence, it has to be directed intelligently. Life being intelligence, it has to be directed intelligently. And that means some planning, some scheduling, some motivations. Otherwise, there's no great reason for continuing to live. Unless there are deep-seated motivations, reasons, planning, scheduling, directing, expecting, then you have every reason in the world. But life doesn't move itself, you know. Oh, it'll keep your body going. It'll keep your brain functioning. But you are the operator. And you take the responsibility. And responsibility is one of the things that most people dodge. So they blame it on the world and their fellow man. That's as good as anything to blame it on until they look in the mirror. And when I look in the mirror, I see what is the cause and the continuity and the projection of what I am. And it's not my face. I'm looking back at the face to my brain. Or the seat of consciousness. Because this is the whole thing. Consciousness is really all there is. That's why the mystics have always been right. We have always read of them with interest, listened about them with interest, and gone merrily on our way. And yet, the teachers have always said that the thinking, feeling nature of the individual is what the individual really is. That body and experience are entirely secondary. And people, as you know, listen gladly. And 10 minutes later, they've forgotten. If the Sermon on the Mount was ever spoken, and many scholars think it wasn't, but it was rather a collection of items put in that particular place in the book, but let's say it had been spoken. I wonder how many of the listeners, 20 minutes afterwards, would have remembered a single sentence. You know, I have people, they're nice people. Oh, Dr. Barker, I enjoy you so much, you're so humorous. Well, that's not my purpose. That's not really what I'm here for. I'm very glad I have a sense of humor. But if the only thing you can remember on Sunday afternoon is one of my corny jokes, I should go out of business, which of course I won't. Now, why did these wise men and women say what they said? Because there's always been the truth. has always been the lighted lamp in the midst of darkness. There's always been, in every generation, someone who could see the light and who would speak of the light or write of the light. All that light is still here, and it always will be. So there will be wars and rumors of war, Isaiah said, he's right, but it wouldn't stop the light. And with all of our negative imagining, it does not stop the light. It prevents us from seeing it, and we claim it isn't there, but it is there. And when we lift our consciousness, we are aware of it. We sense it. We may not sense it as light. I'm using light in the sense of spiritual illumination. We sense there is more to all of this than to get up in the morning and go to work and come home at night and eat something and go to bed again. And the people around that routine are in hell. Right here and now, they don't need to worry about afterwards. They're in hell. Get up in the morning, get dressed, go to work, come home, have dinner, fall asleep in front of the television, go to bed. That's not life. That's not being. That's not experiencing. And so these great people of the past have always said, watch. Because there is a light. There is an idea. There is a creativeness. And it's yours. And you can have it. In fact, you are it, if you'll only wake up to it. Wake up to the light. Now, whoever that lady is flashing a light over there, will you please put it out? Come on. You're very annoying. Turn and look at her. She's sitting next to you. Come on. Alame, maybe better play a little till we get rid of this character. Is there an usher here that can go and do it for me? I've been broadcasting over 15 years. This is the first time that ever happened. Huh. Well, anyway, you know when you come here, you never know what you're going to get. And that's one of the joys of coming here. Now to come back to the lesson. Key idea, you, consciousness, the light, illumination, and the great men and women that have handed it down. And all of them said that their individual names weren't important. But they said that which they wrote, or that which they said, was important. That's all we're trying to do now. I have no interest in whether my name is known 100 years from now or not. It isn't the least bit important. Not at all. Don't care. And I think every other teacher in the movement feels exactly the same way. Utterly unimportant. It's important today only because it's something you put in a newspaper ad. And they say, oh, I think I'll go and hear him. But what I say and what I write, what I do, that's the whole answer to living. Because life is intelligence in action, backed up by creative emotion and expressing itself, because that is its nature. So you are always expressing yourself. When you're pleasant, when you're unpleasant, when you're loving, when you're hating, it's you. When I'm doing the same thing, if I'm doing, it's me. It's just that which I am. Because, you see, you cannot stop being cause becoming effect. You are always cause becoming effect. I am always cause becoming effect. Always. So I'm always projecting. So are you. I can control it when I want to. If my emotions become disturbed, then I can't control it. It just goes. And that's why when I know sorrow, I project it. When I know joy, I project it. If I were to know pain, I would project it. Because I am always cause becoming effect. I'm always this experience. Now, again, I can control it when I want to. So can you. And we do control it. But we don't control it creatively enough. We let it go off into side issues. We let it go off into negative trends, expectations, and all the rest. No, this is a job we've taken on. You see, it's easier to discipline the body than it is the mind. It's easier to discipline your bank account than it is your mind. Much easier. Much easier. But the center of the whole thing is your mind. You never get away from it. Now, I can dodge it, and I probably do some of the time. Probably do. But in the long run, I will be what I have created myself to be by my use of mind. Just as I have programmed other areas of my life, I make sure to program my consciousness. Because I happen to believe what I teach. And I happen to believe what the great men and women who preceded me, what they said, wrote, and the way they acted. I refuse to let my life be stupid. And I wish we were in the old thought, we'd say amen to that. Just say to yourself, I refuse to let my life be stupid. If the others wanted to let it, fine. I am intelligence acting with intelligence on intelligence. Because the whole universe is a system of intelligence. I am intelligence, acting intelligently upon intelligence. The whole thing here is that. The whole thing is consciousness. And consciousness is the awareness of experience, plus the capacity to project experience. And so, we're not going to have a stupid life, or even a dull life. I know so many people that need a little stimulation, a little stirring up. No wonder Paul wrote, said, stir up the gift of God that is within you, when he was looking at all these solid faces. You should see what we see when we stand up here. And I suppose that particular day, Paul was writing and thinking of all the people that were so pious and everything, and he said, hey, stir up the gift that is within you. Because that is life. That is living, that is loving, that is experiencing. So you are the key, I am the key for my door, you're the key for your door. I am the light of the world for my world, you are the light of the world for your world. I am the salt of the earth for my world, you are the salt of the earth for your world. I am the beginning and the end, the cause becoming the effect. The whole thing is there. So I can start out tomorrow and say, all right, good. This is great. This will be great. And by the time I get to the office, I've convinced myself that it's great. So when I walk in, people glance at me and say, well, he's in a good mood today. You know, employees can always tell the mood of their employers. Did you know that? Always. The way the employer walks in the door, the employees know. Because he's protected. They don't know that when they walked in the door, 2 minutes ahead of him, they too were projecting. You know, moving slowly over to their desk to sit down. Think, oh Lord. So, you're always cause becoming effect. Now, again, I have to repeat. Why do negatives happen to me? Because I either expect them or accept. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to plan on evil in any form whatsoever. Now you're going to say, well, but you're shutting your eyes to the way facts are. Oh, no, I'm not. No, I'm not at all. I know what's going on in the world. I know what's going on in the world. Read 2 newspapers yesterday. I know all about it. They did their darndest to convince me. Did the best. And they didn't convince me. I know what's going on in the world, but I'm not going to have it go on in my world. Not at all. Because I'm the key to my experience. No, I don't shut my eyes to the factual world. Not at all. Don't you? We don't want you people running around in a supposed utopia. Because if you do, you'll trip and fall. The world is here. The facts are here. But what I think on the inside of my own mind is my business. And no one else's. What I think on the inside of my mind is my business. And I happen to believe there is a spiritual center in my mind and in yours. And I happen to believe that it responds upon my knowing that it will respond. And so I always say, mind in me knows what to do and does it. The spirit of life in me acts through me, giving me right ideas at every instant, and I accept them and I use them with joy and with enthusiasm and with power. There's an old phrase, and this may bother some of you, that I paraphrase as a spiritual treatment, and I say, for mine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. I paraphrase it. Now, you may be a little startled by the way I use it, but it happens to be the truth. For mine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. All right, so end of the lesson. At this time, the ushers will pass some silver collection plates among you, and we will receive your good, happy money, which furthers the work we are doing. Thank you. We have Mrs. Sims in hiding for 2 weeks merely because we're having a film festival here in Alice Tully Hall, and therefore we have the screen which cannot be removed except when the festival's over. At any rate, it gives me a lovely white background, and she'll be back on stage in 2 weeks. For many of us, immediately after our lesson this morning, we'll be going over to the Essex House for a large party. There'll be over 300 of them there, honoring my birthday. And we make quite a to-do over it, and it's great fun. I am like the Queen of England. She has her birthday one day, and they celebrate it whenever the weather's good. My birthday actually is August 31st. And so we're celebrating it today. At any rate, at the Essex House, if you want to find out, there are last-minute tickets available. Just go over to the Essex House and find our huge party over there. This coming Wednesday night, your speaker is the Reverend Stuart Grayson. I do not have a topic, but I don't need one. Whenever he speaks, the crowd comes out and they love him. 6 o'clock Wednesday. Next Sunday is the first Sunday of the month. And that means that I'll be here early, and we'll have our, what I call our spiritual treatment workshop. It isn't that, really. That's too profound. It's a form of spiritual therapy that I do at 11:15. I sit down in a chair over there, and you and I exchange consciousness, and we get wonderful results. So this is ahead of the regular morning lecture, and it's at 10:45, and you are invited. Many of our radio people come in for it. They've had such good results that they drive in 40, 50 miles in order to be a part of it. So that's next Sunday. There's going to be one more seminar this year, and that's one by Mrs. Sims up at your old favorite haunt that you love so, Lake Minnewaska. And so, if you're interested, there's a worksheet outside, and you can get it from the information table. Now, let's see what I've got here. Well, your two tools. You know how a plumber is dependent upon his tools, an electrician is dependent upon his tools? If you're a secretary, you're dependent upon shorthand and a typewriter. Well, we people are dependent upon two tools, two magazines. The Creative Thought magazine, for which I write, and the Science of Mind magazine, with its excellent material. Both of them have daily spiritual treatments to use, as well as many good articles. So, get them on the way out. I'd like to say for the radio audience that Creative Thought and Science of Mind respectively at 35 cents and 60 cents, and if you would just put a dollar bill in an envelope or a check for a dollar and just say, send me the two magazines, you'll get them right off. We get these letters in by Tuesday. By Tuesday at 1 o'clock, they'll be in the mail. You should have them by Thursday. But it's the first of the month, and we need our new tools. So, they're available outside here today. All right, a lecture every day at noon, and we're adding one more. That will be on Saturday. The Saturday noon lectures by Mr. Kouperis reopen this week. So on Monday you have Mr. Pace, Tuesday Mr. Grayson, Wednesday me, Thursday Mrs. Sims, Friday Mr. Hermans, Saturday Mr. Kouperis. So, we are busy, busy, happy people. Remember, radio audience, that you address your letters to me at 14 East 48th Street, New York, New York, 10017. Now, that seems to be my announcements for today. I don't think I missed anything. No? All right, let's get on with the business of this consciousness. Consciousness is the mind of God in action, the mind of life in action, the mind of cause in action. It is. And it created us out of itself. It created us out of itself by becoming its creation. I remember when I first heard that years ago, I heard Ernest Holmes, the founder of this, say it. And I thought, I can't get it. Now today, after much mulling over, it's as clear as can be. that life creates out of itself by becoming what it creates. That mind creates out of itself by becoming what it creates. That love creates out of itself by becoming what it creates. That beauty creates out of itself by becoming what it creates. Very interesting. And so here we are, the individualizations of all consciousness. And that's why we should walk straight, sit straight. I think we're a nation of the worst sitters. Walking, we tend to walk fairly straight. But when we sit, you know, all right, walk straight, stand straight, be, because you are this consciousness made visible. You are life itself. That's why I say to you, and I mean it, you are wonderful. And I can say of myself, I am wonderful, because I didn't create me. It created me. It created you. It created us. And we're the greatest people in the world. I don't mean we're better than anyone. We are merely more aware. There's nothing in this instruction that makes you better than anyone else. But it makes you more aware of yourself. And I am more aware of myself even for this 55 minutes of talking. And you are more aware because I have talked, I hope. All right, shall we stand for our closing idea? And all I can do is say it yet once again. We are the action of life, the creation of life, the movement of life, the love of life. We are the knowers, and what we know happens. We are cause becoming effect. We are mind in action. And all of this is God. All right, so be it.
Sunday morning lecture of religious science has been broadcast from Alice Tully Hall at Lincoln Center in New York. Please address all letters and contributions to Dr. Raymond Charles Barker at 14 East 48th Street, New York 10017. A list of books and pamphlets is available on request. You're cordially invited to attend these lectures in person or listen again next Sunday morning at 11:05. For another broadcast of the Sunday morning lecture of religious science.
more spiritual content like this, visit scienceofmindarchives.com.